chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. And hold your finger there, and let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Okay, if you don't mind, just stand one more time as we honor God by the reading of His precious holy word and inspired by the Holy Spirit. Exodus chapter 19, verse 3 and verse 4. The Bible says, "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself." And then over in Deuteronomy chapter 32, let's look at verse 11 and verse 12. Verse 11, the Bible says, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we sure do love you so much. And Lord, there's a reason why you refer or reference to eagles so much in Scripture. And Lord, I pray that you, as you have given us an example of the eagle, as you lift us up and bore us up with eagle wings, and Lord, as you train us and prepare us. And Lord, I pray, if there's anyone in our midst tonight, Lord, that doesn't know the sweet Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray tonight will be the night of decision. And Lord, I'd also pray for every Christian that's here, whether they're a baby Christian, whether they are an older, mature Christian in the Lord. Lord, I know you have something for all of us tonight. So may we realize, Lord, as we sung that song, that this is not our home, we're only passing through. What a great hymn. And Lord, we're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience, because we're not going to be here long. And Lord, I just pray that you'll have your will and way in this service tonight. In Jesus' sweet, precious name we do pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, my favorite bird in all creation is the eagle. The Bible has a lot to say about eagles, and this evening I just want to bring to you some simple thoughts of what God means when He says, when He bears us upon His wings like an eagle. Scripture says a lot about eagles. It's a large bird. It's a swift creature. And it has absolutely, it can absolutely see clearly. Eagles build their nest high up and on lofty rocks. And turn in your Bible to Psalms 103 with me for a moment, if you would. Psalms 103. And in Psalms 103, look with me in verse 5. In verse 5, the Bible says, "Who satisfied thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles." This means if you would ask us older saints of God here tonight in this church, what we pray for in our elder years is renewed strength. Now, all it takes is just watching your children and grandchildren and say, "Man, I wish I had half their energy." And I think how older folks struggle with limits of their physical body. A lot of times, they don't hear as good. Or their mind starts to play tricks on them. You know, you're not as sharp as you used to be when you were young. Wheelchairs have become some folks' legs and walkers and canes and on it goes. We have many struggles as we start to age. Well, this phrase, renewed strength like an eagle, as recorded in God's Word, has ancient connection. Let's go over, of course, to a very familiar text, over to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Notice with me, if you would, in verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." You know, many ancient Jews believed that when eagles got old, they would fly over the sea, and no bird flies as high as the eagle. You realize that the eagle is the only fowl that breaks the cloud line, that flies above the clouds. If you would ever visit my study, you would see over my word processor a huge picture that was given me of the eagle. And, of course, it's flying above the cloud line. And as I was looking at this picture, I thought about, as I researched this, that no bird flies as high as the eagle. It is the only bird that flies above the cloud line. And tradition taught, eagles flew so high, they almost flew to the sun. And the closer they got to the sun, their wings would be singed by burning heat of the sun. Then the eagle would fall to the earth. And, of course, tradition taught that when that happened, eagles begins molting process. Molting process is a procedure of going to the sun and falling into the sea, and they will begin to molt and produce new feathers. And its strength would be renewed. Like the eagle, David relates the same idea in verse 5 here. God can restore our strength. Say amen. And maybe you're here tonight and you're defeated. You might be in despair tonight. And you might be wondering, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I'm here to tell you that God can and does restore and renew our strength. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11, and in verse 11 and 12 we just read, I want you to think on the thought again, being bore up with eagle wings. I want to preach to you on how God bears and lifts us up and how that process takes place. Scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 32, picture of a little eaglet family, and the father is in the nest, and the eagles are nested on high rocks above, and the mother and father carefully watch over the little eaglets, and the little eaglets are a treasure to mother and father. The case is true of any parent. They see this baby as their entire investment in life. Mother broods over the little eaglets, and father watches as their guardian, and both mother and father exercise parental responsibility for a little baby eaglet. And the little baby eaglet stays in the nest, and pretty soon, the mother eagle begins to stir up the nest. She has an important job to do, folks. She makes the nest unruly and confused. She makes the nest uncomfortable so that the little eaglet gets to the point where he wants to leave the nest. In other words, she pushes him out of the nest. Not like some of mamas today who try to keep their kids home and mother them and baby them as long as they live. You know, that's not God's plan, of course. So the mother eaglet pushes the eaglet out of the nest, and when it's time to go, and a little eaglet hasn't really flown before, hasn't mastered all the skills of flying, and it is still acceptable to attack and prey, and little eaglets begin to flap its wings. like it never has before. And it soon realizes that it can bear itself up on wind. The eaglets begin to soar, but as it is with young person or young Christian, for example, in the sense, they only have so much strength. And only so much strength is available to babies, and they can only do so much. You new Christians, there's only so much that you can handle. You as a church need to be careful for that. Little eaglet flaps its wings and then soon begins to lose its ability to lift up. And the father swoops below the little eaglet and catches it and bears it up back to the nest where it's safe. The process is done over and over and over again until the little eaglet develops the ability to fly on its own. You see, folks, the Bible teaches us here that God bears us up. But before he does, he confuses things a little bit. God does that because, like a mother eagle, he knows that we have to grow. Earliest eaglet just can't stay in the protection of the nest. So God stirs us up and pushes us out of the nest. So we will fly. We can only fly as far as babies can go. Babies only have so much strength. But when you come to the end of your strength, I'm happy to tell you tonight that God bears us up again. He picks us back up, and he doesn't let us dash into the rocks below. Dear Christian, somebody say amen. And God, the almighty power, takes care of you. He never could let you be destroyed, so he grabs us and puts us back in the nest. He cares for you and me. Think about Moses' prayer in Deuteronomy chapter 32. How he reflects when he was floating down the Nile River there in a basket. And Pharaoh's daughter took and raised him. And she chose Moses' own mother to take care of him. And Moses remembers being told about the event and reflected on it, on how God had been so good to him. Isn't it beautiful how God works? God allowed him to be kicked out of the nest. But God in his mercy swooped down and delivered him and picked him up like an eagle. Oh, dear friend tonight, let me just say this. It's still true today. God still cares for you. And in essence, Moses said this. God said he would take care of me, and he did as he promised. Moses probably had tears in his eyes when he said, "The Lord promised to bear me up with eagle wings to take care of me. And God brought water out of the rock. God made manna to fall from heaven every morning." I mean, God gave us water in the wilderness. God gave us a table in the wilderness. Somebody get happy, say amen. I mean, I say along, friend, because God bears up his children and he cares for us. And I say along with Moses, God's been good to me. And he's never, never failed me once. Hear these Christians all the time griping and complaining about what they don't have. And somebody's got something they don't have. God's been awful good to you. And oh, God's been so good to you tonight. Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't know if I can keep going the way I'm going and if I'm going to make it. Hold on. Hold it. Listen to me. I know how you feel. Maybe God is stirring up your nest to get you to fly. I promise you, when he begins stirring up your nest and you begin to fly, God in his mercy will bear you up. He will not let you crash into the rocks below. You see, maybe you're here tonight and maybe you're a baby Christian. And maybe you're in the nest and secure. Preacher, I feel so alone. You're a Christian now and your family wants nothing to do with you. Your Heavenly Father cares for you. The church family right here at Calvary Baptist that cares for you. A dear pastor and his wife that cares for you. You haven't been thrown out of the nest yet. And other Christians, your nest is being stirred right now. Things are a little confusing and you don't understand why this and that is happening. Why would somebody say this to me? Why would somebody do this to me? This is so unfair. You know, sometimes God engineers those things to get you out of the nest. Folks here this evening could stand and testify to the Lord that it was the difficult times in life that caused them to grow as Christians. Fly on their own. Your nest is being stirred and God pity the Christian who stays in the nest forever. I often say many times, the trouble we have in churches today are Christians who grow old in church, but they never grew up. You see, dear friend, He'll shake the things that you think are unshakable. To cause you to say, I fly if you want me to. And then soon you'll find yourself flying. Do not forget that you have limited strength. God will fly down and scoop you up to safety. Listen to me. I've been saved 58 years. I've been preaching 50 years. And I've been kicked out of my nest many times and not one time. One time did God ever let me go crashing into the rocks below. Maybe that's where you are tonight. God will always, always take care of His children. There were times I didn't think that I felt that God didn't know where I was. He always comes through. He knows your address. He knows where you live. This past summer, we were preaching in Maine, and we were on vacation, and Scooter found this decorative board that we have in our living room. And it says, our house is just a little house, but God knows where we live. You know, friend, that's so true. He knows your email address, too. And God can find you. It's time for you to fly. And as you're falling out of the nest, go ahead and cry. Catch me, Lord. And God will always catch you. He will never, never let you fall. You see, dear friends, tonight, as we look at the eagles, the ones in the nest are baby Christians. And if you're saved here tonight, the Bible says, God is your Father. What a blessed truth. Mark it down. The Lord knows His own. You say, preacher, I thought all children are God's children. That He's our Father. That's what Robert Schuller teaches. That all people are God's children. Robert Schuller and all these think yourself to heaven people are God's children. Jesus tells us in John chapter 8, verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and his works ye shall do. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 together. Please look with me in your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Notice with me verse 13, the Bible says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in threat. You see, what Jesus is saying, no, that's not true. Not everybody has God as their Father. Only one way to have God as your Father, and that is to be born into God's family. If you've never been saved tonight, God is not your Father. I'm not saying that God is mad at you. The Bible says you're dead in trespasses and sin, and the new birth is a gift of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you can be part of God's family if you only put your faith in what Jesus Christ did for you on Calvary. It's not what you've done for Jesus, it's what Jesus did for you. How many of you have done that? Say amen. Amen. You know, somebody may be sitting here tonight saying, it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere about it. Well, the truth is, my dear friend, that's the true thinking of today. People think today that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. That doesn't stand up to John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I heard a story several years ago. Two preachers decided to drive to a meeting 600 miles. Now, a pastor appreciated it since he'd been driving for a little while. And they agreed that one would drive the first 300 miles and the other one would drive the last 300 miles while the first preacher slept. Then the second preacher would drive the last 300 miles while the second preacher slept. Only problem, the second preacher drove 300 miles back the way they had just come from and winded up where they had started from. Imagine driving 600 miles and going nowhere. Tell me, was the second preacher sincere? You bet he was. He wasn't playing games. There are lots of folks sincere about what they believe, but their faith is not founded in Jesus Christ. Being sincere cannot get you to heaven. When you become a child of God, it is then God becomes your heavenly Father. And He covers you with His wings and protects you, and Satan can't get you anymore. Somebody say amen. He can't get you anymore, and God puts you into the nest and covers you as His child. The devil wants to get you and take you to hell. He'd like to destroy your life and drag you into the pit. But God says, no way! He's mine! God hovers over you and protects you. And give the Lord praise for that tonight. Amen. If the devil could get to you, he'd have to go through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Imagine that. Man, and then when he got there, he'd get saved too. Amen. Thank God for the care of His children. And I thank God He's my Father and I'm in His family tonight, being saved for over 58 years and 50 years in the ministry. I can attest that God will take care of His children. Number two. Second of all, I want to talk to you tonight about stirring the nest. Stirring the nest. There are some of you maybe in the nest tonight. To those I would say this, God wants you to grow. He wants you to grow. That's all. Don't get upset with God when He stirs your nest. Some of you may be going through that right now. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me, you see? I'm saved. I thought that my life would be easier once I got saved. In some ways, life does get easier. I've never woken up with a hangover. Praise God. Some of you used to wake up every morning with a hangover all the time, and you don't have them anymore. Say hallelujah. Being saved is wonderful. But don't you think that being a Christian is an easy thing? It's not. Jesus said to take up your cross and follow me. Now, some of you aren't taking up your cross. You're running from him. You can't take the heat, so you've taken off and backslidden. Just because you're backslidden doesn't mean that God writes you off and forgets about you. Thank God for that. You have no way out. Once you're his, that's it. You can't undo it. You're his child, and you might as well make up your mind, I'm his, so I might as well serve him. Go ahead and play tiddlywink with God's will. You say that you don't like that cross. I'd rather have a cross instead of God's spanking or his whipping. You know, but bear the cross. Some of you are in the nest tonight, and God is stirring it up. I remember some senior saints in our church who used to come to church. Thank God for the ones who just come to church. But God stirred their nest. He said, it's not enough. It's not enough. All of a sudden, I heard the preacher challenge folks about soul winning, and God stirred their nest, and God wants to stir the nest of believers all around this church tonight. God simply wants to say, okay, God, I'll fly. And he pushes you out of the nest. God is stirring your nest. There are fundamental independent Baptist churches all over America that are happy and content staying in their nest. They're there and content and peaceful. And they'll never experience the greatness of God in their lives. And I wonder if that's you tonight. Is God stirring your nest? Come on, I want you to grow for me. Could I be pastoring today? Absolutely. But God stirred my nest and pushed me out into evangelism. I had an evangelist tell me 20 years ago that it can't be done. That I'd get very few meetings the first year. Well, our first year, God blessed us with 27,323 miles, 30 churches, 38 meetings, 75 souls saved. The first year! Hey, I know no praise here. The praise is there. See, we serve a God of impossibility. That was the best thing that ever happened to me. Because God stirred my nest. I'm so glad tonight that when you get your nest stirred up, that you can count on this. God has a purpose in it. Not one person can stand tonight and complain about God working in their life. It is when trouble comes and you see God's power come through, my dear friends. And then there's a third thing I want us to see tonight. Some are falling. Some are falling. Some of you tonight are falling, even as I talk. Boy, you're looking for the best place to land, and God has no plan for you to land. God has no design for you to crash. How many folks will say, I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances? Like the eagle, God designed the believer to soar. God will catch us over and over and over again. Mark it down. He's going to stir your nest. Mark it down. He will push you out of the nest. Mark it down. There will come a time when you think you're going to crash and God will bear you up. I'm trying to encourage you tonight. Trust your God. Why don't you put your hand in His today? Oh, you see, dear friends, tonight and say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to take. The Bible says there have no temptation taken you but that which is common to man. God will provide a way of escape. Isn't that good news? Baby Christian, maybe you're in the nest. Things are going pretty good. I promise you, trouble will come. Trouble will come. And I'm afraid at testimony time, older Christians get up and are going to scare new Christians to death. This week I faced persecution. I had eggs thrown at my house. My tires were sliced. But I'm giving God praise. New Christians go, what? What? Mark it down. Troubles will come. And when they do, rear back and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for stirring my nest. I say, get ready to fit into God's plan for your life. Let me just say tonight, in closing, is your nest being stirred tonight? Moses, how do you feel? You're an old man now. God told you that you can't man the Cana, but how do you feel? You've lived your life. What do you feel like doing before you die, Moses? You've led Israel to this place. What do you feel like doing? Moses said, I feel like singing. What do you feel like singing about? Well, dear friend, I'll tell you what. Moses felt like singing about the promises that God made to him. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 4. Let's take a look at that before we close. Exodus chapter 19, back to our text. 19, verse 4. Notice again in verse 4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle wings and brought you unto myself. In chapter 32, Deuteronomy, he sings that song. As an eagle stirs up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh it, beareth them on her wings. He sings about how good God is. I tell you tonight, Christian, we have nothing, nothing to despair about. He bears us up on His wings. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 in our Bibles. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Would you please stand with me and let's read this together. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Let's stand. But they, read with me, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint, being bore up with eagle wings. Dear friend, tonight, we're going to give an invitation. And I'm going to turn the service over to the pastor to do as he will. But let me encourage you tonight. The altars are open. Whatever you're going through, God is there to bear you up, to lift you up, to help you, to renew your strength. It's time tonight to get that strength renewed. Will you please come, Pastor?
Well, the question is tonight, are you sorry? I got to thinking, even when the eagle's looking for his food, he swoops down. Does it land? He grabs a hold of it, takes off. And I pray that too many of us have reached that point where we've landed, as you said. Also, I was thinking as Brother Randy was preaching that how many of us are in the process of fainting. And we need to come to the altar tonight and say, Lord, I don't want to faint. I want to soar. Christians ought to be soaring today. My wife and I were waiting in a line at Disney World for a ride. Epcot, called Soaring. And you get in this long seat. Have you ever been on that down there or not? And it takes you through this big geodesic dome. And it's kind of like you're really hanging out there. And you almost get the sense and the feeling of a bird. Or maybe an eagle or whatever. I mean, you're out there. And you're soaring. And it takes you across valleys and mountains. And I mean, it kind of gets a little bit dizzying when you're doing that process. But I often thought, boy, what would it be like to soar? Like that, like a bird. And even in life, we can soar. Soar through our problems. Soar through the valleys. Soar over the mountaintops. We don't have to be subject to them. But we can soar above them. The liberty and the freedom that we have over our trials and our tribulations and our circumstances because of our position in the Lord. So where are you tonight? Father, we thank you again for this time that we can be together. And more than a moment, we'll sing a song here tonight. And we just pray that you'll guide and direct during the singing of it. But Lord, you know the ones who are really wrestling. Lord, it just seems like every time they turn around, life is just dealing them a negative blow. And Lord, some of it's meant to be conditioning. Lord, some of it is meant to strengthen our soaring abilities. And Lord, sometimes it's just plain old flat-out satanic attack. And Lord, help us to know the difference. But Lord, above all, we can soar in the face of each and every one of them. They're meant for us to learn. And so, Lord, strengthen us and encourage us. Heads about now as a close. Number one tonight, as a child of God, you say, Preacher, I'm wrestling with some things here. Preacher, I'm on the verge of fainting. I'm not sure if I can handle this set of circumstances. Or maybe you've been handling them for a long time, and it seems like there is no end in sight. Well, God sees the end. He wants us to just kind of hang on there, keep on soaring, and He'll deliver. He'll bring us through. Preacher, would you pray for me in closing tonight? Preacher, yes. Would you pray for me tonight? Yes. Preacher, would you pray for me tonight? I don't want to faint. I feel so weak sometimes. I feel so discouraged. Sometimes I feel just flat out distraught, maybe financially, maybe spiritually, maybe emotionally, maybe even physically. Pastor, would you pray for me tonight? Yes, Pastor, would you pray for me tonight? Sometimes the battles seem like they're so long and so unending. We are to endure and to faint not. We're going to sing the song here again, Moses and Steve. We've got 239. God will take care of you. And if God has spoken to you tonight and you want to come to the altar for some prayer, we'll have one of the ladies come and pray with you, or Brother Jim will come and he'll pray, and I'll pray with you. We'll sing that stanza tonight. You need to come, just meet with the Lord here. Come and meet. If you need someone else to pray with you, we'll pray with you tonight too as well. Number 239. Times we try to handle our problems rather than just simply give them to the Lord. Tonight God's saying, come, leave it here at the altar, walk away, leave it with Him, and don't pick it up and take it with you tonight. I think the real question tonight is, how many of you believe this? How many of you believe that God will take care of you? How many of you actually believe that God can take care of you? That's a different question, isn't it? All right, if you believe those things, then maybe you got straight with the Lord tonight. But maybe you need to come and confess and say, Lord, I haven't really trusted you like I ought to trust you. Lord, I have not had the faith in you that I should have had. I haven't had the confidence that I ought to have had as a believer. And you want to come, you want to just simply confess it. I say, Lord, forgive me for not trusting, for not believing, for not just waiting and being patient upon you tonight. Would you come on that second stanza where it says, through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. Sometimes it's hard to see that, isn't it? But claim the promise. God's going to take care of me. God's going to take care of me. On the second stanza, if you want to come tonight, we'll come. Otherwise, we'll close the invitation here tonight.
Through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When danger fears your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Lord, I believe we're going to face some very, very difficult days ahead. I believe the days are going so dark. Lord, the world at large is becoming more brazen. They're becoming more bold in their outright attacks against Christians and believers. Lord, there's no doubt that the vast majority of the United States of America feel that they would be better off if we weren't here. Lord, how blind they are that the restraining force is the Holy Spirit of God in the lives of believers. Once we're out, Lord, they'll have their world. And Lord, they begin to realize the nightmare that they had dreamed of and will one day receive. Lord, may we soar tonight as eagles, that others may see our ability in you to rise above the fray, to rise above the difficulties of life. Lord, we're going to go through them. But Lord, that soaring in our spirit, in our confidence, and our trust that, Lord, these are there for a reason and for a purpose, and that, Lord, others are going to get saved as a result, and Lord, we're going to be strengthened as well. Father, be with those who raise their hands tonight, those who come to the altar. Lord, strengthen them, encourage them. Lord, you know the reason they have come. Lord, may they walk away from the altar tonight refreshed, renewed, invigorated, and excited because of coming to meet with you. And Father, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.